Turn to Matthew chapter 4, please. And I'm recording this so that the people on will get, they usually are on my Zoom meeting, can hear it. You know, I don't have internet here, at least I don't think I do. And I don't want to do it, believe me. No more electronic stuff for me, please. I've spent the whole last many months trying to figure out how to do it nicely and how to get it sounding nice and everything else. And now I'm on TV. I can't believe it. All the curveballs life throws. Matthew chapter 4. What I would like to talk to you today about is living this word. Because that is really, we're not just to learn it, but to live it, all right? And, you know, in Matthew chapter 4, during the temptations of our Lord, the tempter came to him, and he said, command that these stones be made bread. Take these stones, make them bread. Jesus, you've been hungry. You've been out here in the wilderness for 40 days. And Jesus turned around in verse 4, he said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every single word. So, I mean, this gives you an indication that, you know, physical life, we eat bread, right? Other things too. But our spiritual life, you have to eat the word. You have to live by the word. And every word that comes out of the mouth of God is what we are to do. And that came from Deuteronomy, by the way. Let me just show you where that came from. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 8. In verse 1. You know, what God has his people, wants his people to understand is, okay, this is what I want you to do. This is my command. But then he also tells them and trains them, because it takes a little training to do this word. And it really comes up here. It says, all the commandments which I have commanded thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. To humble thee, there was a purpose. It was to humble them and to prove thee, and to know what was in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. God had them in the wilderness, fed them with manna. The word manna means, what is it? What it means. What is it? So, but they ate it for 40 years. That's what God provided for them. And remember how he did this? He says, in the morning you go out and you collect all you need for the day. Don't take any more and don't keep it until the next day. And when they did that, when they kept it, when they took more than what they needed, it stank and it got wormy, and everybody in the neighborhood knew that they were messing up. I mean, it was really unpleasant. But, and then the day before the Sabbath, he would give them twice as much, and it would keep. Because God wants us to rely upon him for everything that we need every day of our life. Every single solitary day in our prayers, every day for his provision, every single thing we need in this life. Wants us to rely on him. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. It's not give me for the rest of my life. Because then what do you need him for? You know, and most people that win that lottery ticket, that it don't last them that long. They blow it pretty quickly. But the point is, God wants us, and he trained them to rely upon him. Trust me. Trust me. And he did it to humble them, which is a great place for mankind to be when they're dealing with the Almighty. There's nothing you can do that's going to impress him. I mean, let's put it in perspective. Oh, I'm a good boy, I'm a good girl. So. Really? If your mom and dad were 30,000 feet in the air flying over you in a plane, they wouldn't know. Right? And there's nothing that you can do that's so evil that's going to change him either. And I know that most people have this misconception. They believe that God is out there going to bless you because you do good, or he is going to curse you because you do evil. No, you're cursing yourself, and you're doing what you're supposed to do. But you're not moving him. You're not moving him. He's not a God of retribution. And he doesn't owe you nothing just because you did it right. You're not paying off the Godfather for your protection. It's not that kind of mentality. You and I live the Word of God because we are responding to the God of love, of mercy, of grace. It's a response. We live for him because he sent our Lord to die for us. God doesn't owe me anything. I deserved to die. I deserve nothing. We're all sinners. The only people in my church are sinners. Every single one of us. We don't deserve. See, this is what I'm saying. So let's say, okay, now I'm praying for people. I'm trying to help. I'm doing the godly, righteous thing. I'm trying to walk like my Lord. But he still doesn't owe me anything. I'm doing this out of response for the love and mercy and grace that he's shown us. I can't possibly thank him enough. I can't possibly sing praises unto him enough to come close to anything that he's done. You follow me? God was training his people because he wants them. He says, I want you, back in verse 1, to observe to do that you may live and multiply and go in. I want you to live, guys. You keep going through the stop sign and disobeying the laws, guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to get clobbered. It was for their benefit. And all they did was recognize, humble themselves, say, yes, Lord, I will. And they did it in response because he took care of them. So go to 78, Psalm 78, the 78th Psalm. It's another record of these times in the wilderness. In Psalm 78, verse 1, it says, give ear, O my people, to the law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth. And in parables I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. We want to put the word on, and we want to share it with our kids and with everybody else. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law to Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. The whole point is so that the next generation would set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. But they were stubborn and they rebelled. That's the next section here. This is what all God wanted. This is all he wants. I mean, I want my kids to walk with God. You know why? Because it is glorious. I've had the joy of trying to stay faithful for my Lord and, you know, doing the best I can. And I've watched signs, miracles, wonders, help, his provision. It has been a blast. It's the greatest thing I've ever, I don't know of anything else greater. See, I don't need to win the lottery because he owns everything. And every time I ask for something that I need, he provides. He provides. And he provides help in my greatest crisis times. You know, when I was sick, Mary was sick, my children were sick, all of us brought back from really the edge of death. Miraculous and wonderful. You know, how much is that worth?
Everything.
And what does he want? What did he want from his people? Yeah, I brought you out of Egypt. I took care of you. I did all of this stuff. All I want you to do is make sure these kids know. And you teach it to them so that they got hope in me. They have hope in God. Look at verse 16. And he brought streams also. Water came out of the rock and caused water to run down like rivers. You know, they're in the middle of a desert. They need water. There's a million or so of them. Hit the rock. Here's the water. And they sinned yet more against him. Even after he did these things and provided for them. These hard-hearted, stiff-necked, just like us. You know, you don't talk about them and not look in the mirror. Okay, let's just get honest. Sometimes we get stiff-necked, hard-hearted. I don't want to know nothing. I want to do it my way. God has provided, he's saved, he has helped, he's blessed them. Cloud over them by day, pillar of fire by night, feeding them every day with manna. They need water, hit the rock, you got all the water you need. I'm with you. And yet, it says in 17, and they sinned yet more against him. By provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God. Now watch how they tempted him. Do you think that God's real concerned with whether you cut a chicken a certain way?
No.
Or do some other ridiculous thing? This is what God is concerned about. And they tempted God in their heart and asked for meat for their lusts. More than what he was given. Hey, we don't like this stuff you're giving. We're angel food we're eating, but let's have something different. You know, I do that with my wife all the time, right? Hey, honey, let's get something different here. And it's hard to think of new things because we eat the same stuff all the time. It's hard to think of new stuff, right? There's only so many vegetables. There's only so many meats and things like that. They did this to God. It wasn't like the stuff that he was giving them was bad. They did it out of their lusts. It wasn't out of need. It was out of their lusts. Because he did provide for them quail. He did provide for them other things at different times. But they tempted him in their lusts. And they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he really take care of us? That's what God, this is the big sin. Can he really take care of me? And they spoke, remember it says here, they spoke against him. I want you to think of that, that every single word that comes out of your mouth, even the ones you don't say outwardly, he hears. He knows what's in the heart. Do you really trust him? Do you trust them in your worst day? In your biggest nightmare? Well, then your mouth ought to indicate it. Behold, he smote the rock, and the water gushed out, and the streams overflowed. And he came and gave bread also. Can he provide flesh for this people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So the fire was kindled against Jacob, and his anger came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the cloud from above and opened the doors of heaven, and hath rained down manna upon them and everything else that he gave them and did for them. They didn't trust him. That is the issue. So you and I can read the Bible and agree with it. I agree with the words that are in this Bible. But if it doesn't translate into living it, if it doesn't translate into trusting the Lord, if it doesn't translate into my mindset and my daily living, then it's just not faith. It's not faith. Go to Proverbs, since we're close. Proverbs chapter 3. This is for when my granddaughter Brielle listens to this teaching sometime in her life. She's going to know that Grandpa was thinking of her, because this is her favorite verse. Because I told her that this was my favorite verse. And these verses were the first ones I ever learned as a Christian going to Bible study for the first time when I went to fellowship. And this favorite verse is starting in verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust in him with all your heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, you don't lean on your own smarts, whether it's street smart, the way the world is, just don't do it. Don't rely on you. Rely upon him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In everything you do, in all your ways, in all your ways, you rely upon him. In all your ways, you acknowledge him. In other words, my Father's with me. He's with me as I stand here. He's with me when I go out and do something. He's with me when I'm driving. He's with me at work. He's with me. In everything that I'm doing, I'm acknowledging him. I'm God-minded. I'm living this word. You see what I mean? I'm living the reality that God is always with me, always present. He's my Father. He's your Father. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. See, God gave us this word so we could live it. Just know it. This is not a religion. Religion is man's rules and regulations of what they add to what the Lord says in the scriptures. If you notice that, if you really read what Jesus hated hypocrites, people who would say spiritual things and never do it. It's the living of it that is the most important thing. It says here in verse 16, all scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. All scripture is profitable. It's given by the inspiration of God. Theopneustos, God breathe. That's what it literally means. It's God breathe. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Doctrine, reproof, correction is instruction in righteousness, right living. This word is given to us so that we can live it. It's instruction in how to live rightly. The purpose? That the man of God, that the man or woman of God may be perfect. The word perfect is having absolutely everything you need. Perfect. Throughly, and the word furnished here in King James is perfected. Truly perfected unto all good works. God has given you this word so that you can live right in His, and that you have everything you need. Every single thing. You know, the Lord said it at the Last Supper, He told the guys, He says, you know what? I want to tell you, everything that you ask me in my name, I will do it. When I was a real young Christian, that was a blank check that I wanted to have filled out. Whatever I ask, that's what Jesus said. The caveat, the instruction though, at the Last Supper has got to be paid attention to. Those of you who serve as I have served, because He washed their feet, and love the way I have loved, you love the way I love, and you obey the Father as I have obeyed, whatever you ask is yours. That's the way Jesus had it. Jesus, if He asked the Father for anything, guess what? See, if you got a son that's willing to walk like that, what wouldn't you give him? I mean, come on, Dad. You wouldn't give him the keys to the car? I bet. See, this word is given to us so we live it. Live it. Practice it. Train ourselves to do it. But mostly so that we can have everything that you need so that you can do the ministry of reconciliation. So that you can speak to others and help them come to know Him. Because that's the purpose of our life. It's a different teaching, but that's the purpose of our life. The Father's given us the ministry and the word of reconciliation to reconcile men to Him. Because that's what God's doing on this planet. See, there's an awful lot of stiff-necked, really hard-hearted, stiff-necked folks. I don't want nothing from God. I don't want to believe in Him. I'm running my own life. I'm doing it my way. I mean, we got songs about this stuff. I'm doing things my way. And it ain't going to be that way. It's not going to work out that way at all. Because God's not even going to let them die and stay dead. Because there's a resurrection of the just and the is also a resurrection of the unjust. And everybody who thought they did it his way, who thought that they would rather serve in hell than to reign in hell than serve in heaven, as Milton said, you know, God's going to get them up. Surprise. And they're going to stand before him, before the final judgment. It ain't going to be pretty. But everybody will give an account. And everybody will know what they could have had. That's part of the... God has given us this word not to punish us, so that we can do the job, live bountifully and beautifully, live with no knowledge that he is with us, the power that he has given to us, the joy that we have a fellowship with him. You know, Paul and Peter and all those guys got beat up terribly in the first century, didn't they? You ever read those records? And yet, Peter was happy. When he went back to the believers, he went back and reported, "We were worthy to get beaten for the word of the Lord." I mean, I don't get it. If you've ever been beaten, this isn't fun. I mean, a lot of people have never been beaten. They've been punched. They've never been beaten. Peter is beaten, and he considers it, "This is great." Paul and Silas, they're out there preaching. They get thrown in the prison, right? They get beaten. I mean, beaten with sticks and rods. They get thrown into the jail, which in those days didn't have any air conditioning. It's just a hole in the wall, dungeon. And they start singing like we were doing before. They're singing praises. And all the gates opened up in the prison, and everybody stayed where they were, and they were singing praises unto the Lord. This is after they get beaten. All right? These are real people with real feelings, with real pain. And the jailer thought, "Oh my God, everybody's going to get out. So you want to kill him?" He said, "Don't kill yourself. So we're all here." Good. You know, in the book of Second Chronicles, you don't have to turn there. It's chapter 20 if you keep in notes. Is the account where Jehoshaphat is surrounded by three nations. And they're totally going to overwhelm Israel. It says, we can't even possibly beat these people. And he takes the threat to God in prayer. And God says to him, "Don't worry. You don't have to fight this battle. I will." Now, I want you to put yourself in the situation. I want you to put yourself in your mind as one of these people when you read that record. What happens is God says, "You don't have to fight the battle. The armies are coming." Okay? Just think about, you know, the armies are coming. Swords, spears, shields, marching, drums, horns, whatever the heck they had. I know it wasn't bagpipes. So, they're coming. All right? And God says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." Everybody's happy, right? Do you believe that? Moms, dads, your kids are in the house. Do you believe this? Are you going to run for the hills? Are you going to... Well, we'll see. We'll see. See, the king believed. So you know what he did? He set the priests in front of his army. He put them in front of his army. And they started singing praises to God. Because God said he's going to take care of this. This is not exactly a strategic move. Now, God's word says you are all a holy priesthood. Priests are those who serve God. Okay? If you're the holy priesthood, are you getting to be first in the line here? Are you going to allow yourself to have enough faith to get in line and start singing? See, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the kind of example I'm talking about. They believed, trusted, they trusted it to the end that they were willing to put their lives on the line over words. That's faith. That's faith. Psalm 91, it says, go ahead and go there. Psalm 91. It's a famous psalm. This is going to literally happen when our Lord returns in the new kingdom, right? But let's say he shows up right now, okay? That would be awesome. But you know what you're going to see? You're going to see some of the things it says here. But I want you to realize where your mind is and your heart and your head now and then in the kingdom to come. It's got to be now and then. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Really? I'm going to trust him. He's my refuge, my fortress. See, these are not just nice words strung together. It's got to be a mindset. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. The fowler, when you put out the trap for the bird, bird don't know it's there. It's a trap. It's to snare it. From the noisome pestilence. He'll deliver you from the pestilence. Guess what we got going on around now? The pestilence. The pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. Trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. What's going to happen when it's pitch dark? Nor of the arrow that flies by day. You know what? Don't be afraid of, you know, I shot an arrow into the air. Where it lands, I know not where. You know, stuff comes out of the blue. Stuff happens you had nothing to do with. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid. Are you under his wings or not? What's your head? You know, my grandmother, we lived in Astoria, and she didn't care about nothing. She just was like me, you know. She wouldn't worry about nothing. She lived on the ground floor apartment, and one day, a guy crawled into the window to rob her, right? So he crawled in, and she just looked at him and said, "You must be the dumbest person on the earth." Said, "You're coming to me? I ain't got nothing. You want something? Take it. What do you want?" There ain't nothing worth nothing here. If you're going to rob somebody who's got something, stupid. And she berailed this guy the whole time he was in the apartment. She berailed him so bad he couldn't wait to get out. He was flipping the lock because he wanted to go out the door, right? You moron. He couldn't get out the door. She unlocked the door. Grandma was a piece of work. Now, she was scared after he left, but when he was there, nah. No fear. You don't worry about it. Is God with you or is he not? Can I stop? It says, deliver us from evil. It's another prayer. Another one in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver me from temptation. If God doesn't deliver me, I'm not getting delivered. A thousand, it says in verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now this is definitely happening after our Lord returns, remember? Because the whole world comes against him, and you got this nice battle, and one third of the earth dies trying to fight against him. But how about today? You got people freaking out? Don't. You know why? God, your Father. If he don't deliver you, you ain't getting delivered. All right? You live your life, you be smart, everything else. This doesn't mean you just don't, you know, you don't. I don't have to worry about the steering wheel in the car. I'll just let the car drive itself. God's with me. That's a moron. That's another, you're like the guy who broke into my grandmother's apartment. Doesn't work that way. It said not to tempt the Lord. That's tempting him. Oh, let's see if God is with me. No, you live your life, you do what you're supposed to do, but you got no fears. You got no worries. You have no, because he is your strength, your buckler. He is your Father. And if you're doing his will and living his word, whatever you need, you'll get. You follow? So we spend our lives. Go to Psalm 100. We sang that one today. We spend our lives praising him, giving thanks unto his name, speaking about him, the wonderful works of God, eulogizing him, showing everyone around us how wonderful our Father is. Verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. You know, that's all my kids can do for me. They're grown now, right? They can't pay me back. They can't pay Mary and I back for the hours, the expense, for the nursing care, for getting up in the middle of the night when they cried, for the food that was on their table. Can't pay it back. You know what? We've never expected it to be paid back. We gave it freely out of love, as God has, because that's the example. God gave freely. He gave all these people life, even the ones that don't like him. They all die. Everybody dies. That's why he sent Jesus, to pay for the sins of mankind, so those that believe on him could be raised and spend eternity with God the way it's supposed to be. We praise him, we love him, we give thanks, and that's all I ask my children. Just be thankful, that's all. And I don't even ask for too much of that. I'm just blessed to have been able to give. 1 Thessalonians. See, those are things you can do. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. In verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What does he want? Trust him, believe him, and then just give thanks. Share the word with everyone around you, and especially your children. If you don't teach it to them, guess what? Even if you do, they may choose not to want it. Right? But at least you gave them a shot. They have no idea what they're walking into without God. Tell you what, it ain't going to be pretty. But you faithfully teach and help. And you do it so that they can have hope. They can have life. They can have blessings and joy. In Hebrews, not too far from here, Hebrews 13. Chapter 13 and verse 15. See, what is that? What is it the thing that God wants from us? Trust him, believe in him, to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love him and to love others the way he's loved us. These are the first great commandment, and the second's like unto it, right? But it's got to be lived. It's got to be a mindset that literally gets into your lifestyle. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. You know, it calls this a sacrifice. Usually when you think about it, sacrifices cost people something. And you know what? When Paul was bleeding in that jail cell and he was singing praises and giving the God glory, it was a sacrifice. When Peter was getting beat for preaching the word and being called on the carpet, you know, you get nervous when the boss calls you in. Especially when your job might be on the line. You're sort of like on your best behavior, unless you're dumb and you don't want the job. But if you do want the job, then you're on your best behavior. You line up your words, your attitude, everything, just for the job. Not for the Father. Not for the Father. See, second fiddle? You know, everybody will show up to work on time, but will they show up to fellowship or an appointment with someone else to teach about the Bible? Is it a cavalier attitude or a second class attitude? What do we live? You know, there are people who have an absolute beautiful work ethic and so many things. Make sure that yours with God in your life. You know, I would never do anything to hurt my kids. How about trying to live your life before God that way? Now, they screw up, and I screw up with him. And then I ask, forgive me, Father. And he does. but I try. You follow me? So that's living it. We give the sacrifice. When you're on your deathbed, you'll be praising the Lord. You know that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, we sang? I asked Ralph to do that. That's because when my daughter was in the hospital and we didn't know whether it was which way it was going to go, I would go out in the parking lot at the hospital and sing that song to God. That's the sacrifice of praise. It's not entertainment. Everything going to hell in your life and you're still singing praises to God? That's the sacrifice. Now, I'm not hoping that you all have a bad day so you sing, okay? I'm just saying that you sing when it's good. You sing when it's bad. You give him the glory and praise and thanksgiving when everything goes to hell and when everything is going right. Because that is my mindset, my life. That's what I am living in my life, in the heart, in the word. Do you see what I'm talking about? It's the living of it. It's when this translates from words on a page to you in your heart, no matter what your circumstances are. That's how it works. And go to John 14. We're going to close there, I think. Well, actually, go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. We'll close here. God is our Father. He gave his Son because he loved you. He loves every single person on the earth. That is so far beyond my comprehension. Because I've met a whole bunch of them. Okay? He loves every single individual on this earth. And he gave his Son for every one of their lives. And I can't believe he did it for me. Because I know me. I knew me back when. I know me now. How much he loves. He deserves everything I can give him. He deserves all my love, my praise, my trust, everything. And he showed this. Philippians 4, verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding." This peace of God, when you got that relationship with him, his peace that's on you and that you have with him shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will keep. So finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen of me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You live his word, and he will be with you. And that's what I had to share with you today. So.